I'm going to ask you both to come to the stage here and to give a greeting to our people here at CNC.
Well, thank you so much. I'm Rob Viss. I'm the U.S. National Director for Favor of God. And it's quite an honor to have Martin here. He's one of the founders of Favor of God, and his just heart and passion for God is something that I learn from every day. So I'll just let him greet you now, but thank you.
Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful to be here with you this night. I'm from Uganda, working with Favor of God Ministry. Our director, Carol, has been here sometime before. And I want to bring you greetings from Uganda. And I love to share with you, maybe more on Sunday, what God is doing in Uganda, especially bring revival and restoration. And we love to hear this story. And I really thank the church giving me this opportunity and chance to really to greet you this night. And I pray that may the Lord bless you. See you Sunday.
Praise God. Give them a hand, CNC. We'll be looking forward to the word that God has for him to give to us on Sunday. So it is my extreme pleasure, CNC, to present to you Pastors Tasi and Rita Wiley. I'm going to have them in a few moments to come up. And Pastor Rita is going to deliver the word to us. I just continue to say we are so blessed at how God raises up leaders, and he placed them at Valley View to come alongside our pastors. And as they, you know, just as Moses had to have those who were close to him to raise his arms up, the Lord has blessed our pastors with such a man and woman of God who love God with all their hearts. And they can see the vision that God has given our pastors, and they stand alongside them to help them carry forth the mandate of God on their lives. CNC, stand to your feet as I present to you Assistant Pastors Tasi and Rita Wiley from CNC Valley View.
God bless you. Thank you so much. You may be seated. We're just honored to be in the presence of the Lord and in the presence of these brothers and sisters at CNC Lorain. We're also just honored to be in partnership in ministry with Pastor Lewis and Tina Caton. They are precious people of God. We've been in relationship with them for many years, even when we pastored and we came out of the pastorate, the Lord directed us to CNC. In fact, we drove here for a year until the Eastside location was established, I believe in 1997. So we're just, was it 97? 2007. Oh boy, I'm really going back. But we're just blessed to be here. Now, Pastor Rita is going to share the word of God tonight, and I'm excited about that. She is an awesome woman of God whom God has used over 20 years in encouraging and strengthening the body of Christ. And she is a woman of prayer and intercession with a prophetic bent. So we are going to find out what the Spirit of God will release through her tonight. And so I'm going to just pray over her and then release this to her and the Holy Spirit. Father, we bless you and thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us tonight, Lord God. Thank you for assembling us in this place at this time tonight, Lord God, to be in relationship with you and with each other. I pray for Pastor Rita as she releases the Word of God. Let it come with power, with accuracy, with demonstration in the Holy Ghost. And we bless you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, she is my partner in ministry, my partner in life, and here she is.
Glory to God. It's good to be. I'm like David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. As I was just before the Lord and asking, you know, what would you have me to share? You know, sometimes you're getting those words and God's stirring something way before he clarifies it and identifies it. But then he began to talk to me and say to me, I want a gathering of my friends in my house. He began to talk to me about this time and this season that we are in the body, where God wants to identify his friends. His friends, are you a friend of God? If you're a friend of God and you're really sure that you're a friend of God, just give me a wave offering. Glory to God, I'm in the right place. Whenever I go somewhere or whenever I minister, I always ask God to bring the people that I have the word for. Don't let me minister a word to a people who cannot get it, who can't catch it. Every now and then that happens. Have you ever had a word for somebody and you go to give them that word and they don't understand it? It's kind of like just going in one ear, out the other, just right over their head. What a waste of time. But sometimes that's the way it is. And that does not mean that it's not God. Sometimes that word will be on a track in their spirit, in their mind, and 5 days later, 5 months later, 5 years later, they'll hear that word and understand what it meant. But I'm just thanking God and glorifying God because we're in a time where he's calling his friends forth. He's calling his friends. And to be a friend of God is a high calling. You may not necessarily have a big ceremony celebration in the natural, but to be a friend of God is a real personal thing. And in many cases, for some of us tonight in this room, you know that you're a child of God. You know that you were a child of God when you became born again. And you were comfortable saying, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. And some of us know ourselves to be a servant of God. Are you with me? Amen. Are you understanding me? Yes. Are there any servants of God in the house? Amen. Are there any children of God in the house? Amen. But today God wants to talk to us tonight about being a friend of God. I want you to go with me to the scripture in John chapter 15. And before I begin to read this, I just want to make a short declaration of prayer for myself. My husband prayed over me. The intercessors, I know they already soaked this place in prayer. I can always tell when I walk into a place where prayer has preceded and saturated the place. And I know that the ones that were praying are friends of God. But I thank you, Father, that I decrease and you increase. I thank you, Father, that there's none of me in all of you. Help us to hear clearly what you would have us to know. Help us to respond properly to your word, your will, and your ways. In Jesus' name. If ever before in the earth, God needs his friends to tune in. When you look at the news on a daily basis, somebody needs to be standing in the gap and talking to the Father about the city, about the land, about the nation, about the nations, about the world. And I'm just going to read just a few scriptures from John 15, and I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I very seldom do any kind of teaching without giving a homework assignment. So you just jot this down, and your homework assignment is to read John 14 and 15, those two chapters. Read them, digest them, chew them, meditate on them. But I'm going to just single out verses 14, 15, and 16 of John 15. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servants knoweth not what the Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. This is Jesus talking. Amen. And he is talking to his disciples. And we're his disciples. Glory to God. And verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now, I'm going to just ask you, some of you may have experienced this before, and have you ever, like, at some time in life, maybe even BC, before Christ, maybe even attended a party or come to a new workplace or entered into a classroom or a school and spotted out someone and thought to yourself, I would like to be a friend with that person? Anybody? Anybody ever done that? Just kind of eyed out someone and thought to yourself, I would like to know them. I would like to be their friend. I would like them to be my friend. I've had that happen. I've done that. And I think most of us at some point has done that. We all need friends. But here in the scriptures, it clearly says, and when I saw this, I kind of got excited in verse 16 where it said, you have not chosen me, I have chosen you. Do you not know that God sought you out? He saw you and said, I want that one for a friend. And I'm sure that when you selected someone to be a friend to you, or thought you would like to have them for a friend, perhaps your reasoning or your desire could have been all external, could have been way they talked, way they dressed. Perhaps they appear to have money or not have money, or maybe they just look like you and them could hit it off, or whatever the reason might have been. But whatever God's reason was, look at somebody and say, whatever God's reason was for choosing me as a friend, say it out loud like you mean it, for choosing me as a friend, it was all good. Yeah, it was all good. Think about that. God chose you as a friend. He says about his friends, he says some specific things in this scripture. These are what I like to see as privileges. And I can sense that even on this evening, some of us already know we are friends of God, but we're going to be provoked to develop a deeper friendship with God. A deeper friendship, meaning that you will do whatever your friend asks you to do. You're going to do it. I love it when Sister Cynthia said she was in the grocery store and God said to her to pay for the lady's groceries. He only would have told a friend to do something like that. See, friends get to the point where they're ready for every assignment God gives them. Whenever God speaks, they're listening. Friends want to do what makes the other friend joyful. In friendships, we laugh together. You have a friend that you laugh with. Do you ever laugh with God? Because God has a sense of humor. Do you ever know that God is laughing at you? You know, you can laugh with me or you can laugh at me, but if you're my friend, it's all right. Do you cry with your friend? Do you know God has times when his heart breaks, and sometimes he allows us to express the tears? When you're with a friend, you're comfortable being whoever you are. It's easy to be transparent. It's easy to open your heart and your mind. Friends have love languages, and they love to speak those love languages to one another. God has love languages, and God knows we have love languages, and He loves to speak to us. He's saying right here that when you were a servant, and this is a promotion to go from servanthood to friendship, but in a friendship, you're still willing to serve. In a friendship, sometimes you go into child mode. Like, God, you know, I don't want to be a grown-up today. God, I just want to be silly. God, I just, you know, I'm having a moment. I just need to complain. I need to fuss. Do you know David made his complaints to the Lord? Because the Lord understood. Sometimes we get mixed up and we make our complaints to our natural friends. But God has provided privileges for those that are His friends. He gives us all that are His friends, get ready, because God has increased the assignments for His friends. There will be more of us in grocery stores that will hear God say what He said to you, Cynthia. Why? Because there's more of a need in the grocery store for somebody to pick up the tab. So we should on purpose be listening and looking and maybe even entering into the grocery store saying, God, is there anybody in here that I'm supposed to take care of the bill for today? Now, I know I have an extra $100. Maybe this is not for me. Glory to God. Jesus said, I am going to share things with you that my Father said. He's going to tell us what His Father is saying and make it clear and plain. Know that you've been chosen. Privileges of having a fruitful life. Is your life fruitful? If you're a friend of God, you should have a fruitful life. Your life should not just be fruitful, but the scripture here says it should bear much fruit. Not a little bit of fruit, but much fruit. And guess what? The fruit should not rot. It should remain. So our lives should bear much fruit. Now, there's another part in these scriptures. At the end of verse 16, the other privilege I want to mention is that knowing that you have a power of name exchange. You know, the scripture says that when we come into the kingdom in heaven, our names have been written in the Lamb's book of life. Glory to God. But here on earth, it's almost like the Lord gives us His name as an access, a credit card to use in the earth. He's saying right here in verse 16, the latter part of verse 16, he says that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, He may do it. Now, some people are asked things in the name of Jesus and they get no result. But a friend, I remember when my husband and I first married 30 some years ago, one of the first things he did was he went and he called all his creditors. Amen. And he added, send me one more credit card. Her name is Rita Wiley. Send me one more credit card. So I got the benefit of his name. And as a friend of God, we have the benefit of his name. Are you hearing me? Sometimes you have to test that card and see if it's work or will it decline on you. Come on now. If it's declining, maybe your friendship is not what you thought it was. Because as a friend of God, Jesus said you could use that name. And He would give you whatever you desired. I want us to look quickly at Matthew 6. Because one of the unique privileges of being a friend of God is that we have a prayer power that others don't have. We have a prayer power privilege to talk to God about things and expect those things to change. But it's done with something special in mind called in a secret way. Friends share secrets. Do you have friends that you can share a secret with and know that that secret is safe? If we're really being a good friend of God, he's going to share secrets with us. And if we're being good friends with one another, we're going to be able to keep secrets secrets. Are you hearing me? So if you don't know how to keep a secret, we got to work on your friendship qualities. Because one of the primary qualities of being a good friend is you know how to keep a secret. See, a good friend doesn't blab everything. When the world knocks you down, a good friend can pick you up. So Matthew 6. Let's just go. I'm just going to go there and read this. 5 and 6. The prayer power that I think is so unique, and sometimes we don't always appreciate the secret prayer. Verse 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt be not as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue or in the church, in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse 6. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Now, I'm not talking about when people are praying before the service up here. Let's make that clear. I'm not talking about those people. Those are the open, public prayers. They're not being done for the sake of people seeing that. There's a benefit when we have strong intercessors praying before the services. And one of the benefits is that for the congregation and the people of God to come in and agree with the intercessors that are seasoned, called, and prepared to pray openly. But they're not praying to the people and they're not praying for the people. They're praying to God about what's going to happen, saturating this building, this place, and changing the atmosphere of this place. That should be done even in our own personal homes. Friends of God do that in their homes. Sanctify your house with prayer. Change the atmosphere. I mean, today's prayer closet could be your car. How many friends of God do a lot of their praying in the car? I'm sure they are. Your prayer closet is wherever you go to find that quiet place, to find that place where you are just you and God. And sometimes you and God are having conversation about things of this earth, things of this world. And you are bringing those things before God because you want thy kingdom to come, thy will to be done. And so you go into the closet and shut the door. Remember Abraham, the friend of God. He was called the friend of God. Abraham went to God in a secret kind of way and prayed for his nephew Lot. When he, you know, the unique thing is that God shared with Abraham a secret. He let Abraham know, you know, I'm about to take that city down. I'm tired of that sin, and I'm about to take them down. I'm done. Finished. I'm about to wipe them out. And Abraham, this is how friends talk. This was God sharing a secret with Abraham. And Abraham said, well, wait a minute now. I got some kinfolk in that city. And then Abraham, you know the story. It's in Genesis. Abraham began to say, well, what about if there's 50 righteous people in that city? Would you still destroy the city? And then Abraham began to negotiate. He began to say, well, what about 40? What about 30? What about, what? He got all the way down to, what about 10? But see, when God is your friend, you and God can discuss things. You can say, well, wait a minute, God. What about this? And I have a loved one there. I care about God. Come on. And so between Abraham's prayer to God, God decided to release grace and mercy and sent the angels into the city to bring his nephew out. That's the power of the secret prayer for the open reward. Are you hearing me? Moses did a very similar thing. Do you remember the conversation Moses was having with God after God was trying so hard to convince the children of Israel that he was God and he was in charge, and they still continued to frustrate his grace? And Moses went before him, and God was like, I had enough. I'm done with them. Let's just wipe them all out. Moses, let's start all over with just you. And then Moses backed up and said, well, God, now wait a minute. And you know, a true intercessor has a heart of compassion. Wait a minute, God. If you take them out, this is how a friend is talking to another friend. If you take them out, then you're going to have to take me too. And God said, well, wait a minute. I don't want to do that. That's another example of a secret prayer conversation between God and a friend God chose. God chose. And it allowed, in his grace and his mercy, he didn't. I don't know if I would have been like Moses. I might have said, okay, God, you know what you're doing. Go ahead, don't do what you want to do, and just be me and you. You know, I can't say that I would have been because then that same group ended up causing him to become angry and lose his opportunity to see the promised land. So, you know, I mean, I'm not sure. I could have, when I read that scripture, sometimes I'm like, well, why was Moses telling God what to do? It was God's idea. But, you know, a friend will think about how is something going to affect the other? You know, when Noah was in the earth, God looked all around and nobody was thinking about him except for Noah. And once again, God decided, let's just start over. But we're living in a time today where God wants friends that are going to be true friends, that are going to know how to go into the secret place and express the power they have in a privilege to pray. And be able to say, God, Cleveland, I know the city is corrupt. God, Lorraine, I know there's a lot of poverty. I know there's no work. I know Ford Motor Company left, God. I know that the west side is corrupt. The east side is corrupt. I know that the government is just looking crazy. I know that every time I pick up I know that so-called LeBron James thought he was a big king, and he failed as a king, God, because they didn't really realize that there was going to be one King of Kings and one Lord of Lords, and there's not going to be any idolatry. Amen. I wonder what friends have been talking about that to God, because he said he would have no other idols before him. Some friends must have been having some conversations. But even this morning, I was thinking, you know, the game is going on tonight, and they're tightening up security for the Gund Arena or the Quicken's Loans Arena, whatever it is. They're tightening up security. They're changing the way they're serving their beer because they're trying to protect and they don't want. But you know what? I know God quickened into some hearts of some intercessors. Pray for the city today. Pray for grace and mercy. Pray for peace. Because last year this time, LeBron was on top of the world. But this year this time, there's probably a lot of questions in his heart and mind. But hopefully, it's drawing him to know the real King. Drawing him, because the Bible says every knee is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess. I think some friends have been talking to God. I know I have, and I know I'm not alone. God has some friends. He has a remnant. Glory to God. So I just feel tonight that the Lord wanted me to stir and cast a vision about friendship. Friendship with God and friendship with one another. You really can't be a good friend to each other in the body if you can't be a good friend to God. God is stirring us, and he wants us to live in the realm of being called his friend. One of the unique things about being a friend of God is that you have to have a level of faith. You have to have faith because that's what pleases him. When you know your friends, you know what they like. You know what they don't like. I have had the privilege of being in a church over the years, and the scripture says that the older women teach the younger women. And I had opportunity to see the older women, the senior ladies in the house of God, develop friendship and model and example friendship. Whenever one of them went on to be and receive their promotion and went on home to be with the Lord, there was a certain kind of sad you're gone, but glad I know where you are. Do you know what I mean? And they knew how to rally around the family. They knew how to prepare food for the family. And they knew how to set the example. There was one couple of ladies that they were intercessors, and they prayed by phone. They were good friends, good intercessors. They prayed by phone every morning at 8 o'clock. From 8 to 8:30. So if you had a prayer request, and sometimes you need a little backup prayer, don't you? Amen. You knew you could call them and count on them because at between 8 and 8:30, they had the things that they were going to be talking to the Lord about. But it was an example to see them express the love of Christ, to see them walk that love walk that he tells us to walk. He said in his word, let them know you are mine by the love you have for one another. But it is when we get in his presence that we learn to appreciate the transformation, the ability to be the friend of God. Developing that deep friendship with God and allowing our friendship to mature and be honorable. There are certain things that make a relationship with God honorable. Knowing how to be clean. Knowing how to be holy. Because it's something beautiful about holiness. Sometimes people think they're looking at the way you dress on the outside, or the type of skin you have, or maybe your eyes or your hair or your, whether you're male or female. But if it's holiness, it's beautiful. That's right. And as believers, we should wear holiness. That's right. We should wear holiness like a garment to make even this world, you know, you can open up a magazine, you can go to the the department store, the drugstore, and they have all kinds of technology and creams that supposedly take away aging or make you look young again. But holiness is beautiful, no matter what age, no matter what stage. And in the house of God, I am beginning to see that he wants his house to have friends. Not a few friends, but good friends and more friends. Because God is in multiplication. He's in being, be fruitful and multiply. So in his house, he wants good friends. This is a great house. When God comes here, when God is here, he wants to be amongst those that he calls friends, that when he speaks to us, we listen. Nothing is worse than talking to someone who's not listening. Someone who's trying to have one ear at your words and the other ear at the TV or the radio. That's rude. Excuse me, that's rude. But God wants people that are going to listen to him. So I just want to share with you from the scripture, 2 Timothy 2, 19 to 22, just some things God was showing me about the way in which he desires his people, this house, our house, to be honorable in our friendship walk. It says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Does God know you are his? Does God know you are his friend? He knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, depart from evil thinking. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Are there vessels of honor in the house of God? Are there vessels of honor in the house of God? Amen. Are there vessels of dishonor in the house of God? Are there vessels of dishonor? I mean, sometimes we hear about some of this dishonoring things that vessels in the house of God are. Which are you? Are you a vessel of honor? Are you a vessel of dishonor? Verse 20, but in this, I'm going to read that one again. But in this great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In other words, the scripture's saying there's both in the house of God. Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Purge himself. So it's not as hard as we might think it is, because if you are a vessel of dishonor, then you obviously don't know how to purge yourself. If you are a vessel of honor, then you are one that can purge yourself. Now, I'm going to give you this little example. Most of the time, little babies, they go through stages of toddling, and usually about after the toddling stage for a little while, then it's time to potty train them. And in the potty training process, they don't really know how to clean themselves. It's a process of learning that. Learning what to do, learning when to go, when they feel it, when the sensation is there, then to tell someone, then to get them there, then to sit them there, then to make sure they understand. It's a process. Are you following me? And so even in the house of God, those of us that have not learned how to purge ourselves, yet still we're at that child state, we have to learn how to purge ourselves. Because we don't always know we're dirty. We don't always know that we have on a stinky diaper. You ever seen a little baby that doesn't even bother them? I have had three, and they all were like that. I mean, just walking all around, toddling everywhere, smelling up the whole house. And you're like, come here, let me change you. Yeah, whew. And sometimes in the house of God, there are those that do not know how to clean themselves as well. Are you following me in the spirit? And they're walking around dirty, smelly, stinky, with iniquity upon them, sin upon them, and they don't know it. They haven't come into maturity enough to know this is not honoring in the house of God. So somebody has to work with them. The older, the more mature, need to help in the potty training process. Most of us are not good at potty training either. We don't really, I mean, that's not a part of bringing them up that you look forward to. I mean, you look forward to it afterwards, but you don't always look forward to it in the process. Are you hearing me? And so in this process, in the house of God, those that are developing friendship with God, some may have the assignment to train others in the purging. Are you hearing me? So that the house of God can be full of vessels of honor that are real friends of God. Is this making sense? And so verse 21 again says, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So we have to know how to purge ourselves. Are you looking forward to yielding to the Holy Spirit to teach you how to purge yourself? And it's really not as hard. In fact, it's very liberating when you can say, and most of our purging is done in the secret prayer closet. Everyone doesn't have to experience it. Are you with me? In the secret prayer closet, where you can go in and you can say, here's the example. God, I have a spot of jealousy in my heart. Wash me, God. Ooh, glory. Cleanse me, Lord. Father, I just told, there's something in me. I've been lying to myself. I've been deceiving myself. God, forgive me. Father, I'm resentful of that situation. I'm resentful of that circumstance. I'm bitter about that, God. See, friends are honest with each other. Because sometimes if you cannot be honest with your friend, you're not even being honest with yourself. But purging yourself, and as David says, having truth in our inward parts and giving us to know wisdom in the hidden places. Verse 22, flee also from youthful lusts, but follow righteousness. You know, old people have youthful lusts too. You ever heard of an old pervert? There are old people that still like to backbite and gossip and talk against leadership. That's not being a vessel of honor. That's not being a friend of God. Sometimes, even in the body, there's some who practice the accuser, being the accuser of the brethren. Do you know any of that? Has that been going on? Is anybody accusing the brethren? You can't be a friend of God if you are not willing to purge yourself so that every time you step into that closet, you can be honest with God. You can exchange secrets. Your credit, your access, I use the example of a credit card. You can access the kingdom because you have the name of Jesus. And when you say something in the name of Jesus, heaven responds and you do not get a decline because you're a friend of God. And I just want to close with this. In our lives, we want to have friends because we were made to fellowship. We were made to be in relationship with God and each other. But of all the friends that I have on earth, and I have a few friends, God has blessed me with the gift of friends in my life, and I'm grateful for that. And even in this season of celebrating the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to celebrate Jesus as your very best friend. Your very best friend. In the natural, I have friends that say, you know, I have this person have introduced me before, or introduced their friends and said, you know, this is my best friend. This person has been my friend for 20 years, 30 years. We've invested in each other. We've spent time. And every friendship that's a strong friendship can weather a storm. There can be a bump. There can be a time when the wrong thing came out of your mouth and you said it the wrong way or you said it at the wrong time. But if it's a real friendship, you will eventually put that to the side and say, you know what? We're friends. I didn't mean that. I need to apologize. We can do that even with the Lord. I didn't mean it that way, God. It helped me straighten that out in my inner being. Straighten that out in my thinking, God. Because I want to be considered a true friend of God. God is calling us to deeper friendship, stronger friendship. Those of us that have been as children to God, He's calling you to be a servant. Those that have been a servant, He's transitioning you into friendship. And when you hit friendship, you know, you can just kind of flow. And if you need to flow back and forth a little bit, you can. But the higher place is friendship. I just want to ask you to stand to your feet. I just feel to pray for the stirring of friendship with God tonight. That God would begin to provoke a depth in our friendship on a personal level, but also a depth to our friendship with one another. I thank you, Father. I just want to ask you to bow your heads and I thank you, Father. I give you glory tonight, God. I give you honor and praise. I thank you that your friends are gathered in this place tonight, God. Those that you have chosen to be your friends. Clearing out our ears, God, so that we can hear you when you talk. Stir our hearts, God, so that we won't just be hearers of your word, but we will be doers of your word, Father God. Thank you for the good thoughts you have toward us. Thank you for teaching us to walk upright before you. Thank you for the beauty of holiness. Thank you for the vessels of honor in this place, God. We give you all the praise, Lord. We give you all the glory, Father God. Jesus, you are our best friend. Help us to live it, breathe it, think it, and walk it out, God. In Jesus' name, be glorified. Amen.
Maybe there is someone in the house today that you haven't even gotten to first base yet, that you know that you need Jesus to be your friend. And you may have never had the opportunity to even invite him to your heart, but you know that there is something stirring in your heart today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I would like to ask this question. Are you in this house today and you know that you have never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? That you are walking contrary to what you know is right, but you need Jesus? Will you raise your hand if you know that you need Jesus in your life and you need to ask him to be your Lord and Savior? Even as Pastor Rita was indicating that if you know that you need to walk closer with the Lord, but Jesus is your personal Savior, we're going to ask the altar ministers to come to the altar at this time. And if you would like to receive prayer, we invite you to come as we can pray with you and agree with you that you go to a deeper level in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You know he's calling you because he's been wooing you. So we invite you to come to the altar. And at this time, I'll just declare to you to live right, pray hard, and love every bridey. And we will see you on Sunday morning. But if you need prayer, come to the altar at this time.